640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Vicki Barker. The Justice Department makes this promise to senior Hamas leaders.
We will pursue the terrorists responsible for murdering Americans and those who illegally provide them with material support for the rest of their lives.
Attorney General Merrick Garland unsealing charges against the Hamas leaders over Americans killed in the October 7th attacks inside Israel and beyond. In Ukraine overnight, a Russian airstrike on the city of Lviv has left at least seven people dead. Also in Ukraine,
one of Ukraine's most recognizable faces on the international stage is submitting his resignation, Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba. The war with Russia is at a critical stage. Yesterday saw one of Russia's deadliest missile attacks since the war began.
Cammy McCormick reporting some 50 people died in that attack. In Britain, an independent inquiry into the 2017 fire at the Grenfell Tower high-rise that left 72 people dead has just concluded that all of the deaths were avoidable. The report says dishonest companies, government inaction, and deficiencies in the fire service all share the blame. Criminal charges may follow. A judge has sentenced a Maryland man to 13 months in prison for making more than 12,000 threatening and harassing calls to dozens of members of Congress. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more.
He's pleaded guilty. The sentencing from the Department of Justice was recommended to be 18 months. But the judge handed down a sentence of 13 months in prison. But what stands out most, not just that this was a singularly prolific case, but that it's just one of the growing number of threat cases being handled by U.S. Capitol Police and by the U.S. Department of Justice.
Pope Francis is in Indonesia on a four-nation trip to the Asia Pacific. Speaking through an interpreter, the 87-year-old pontiff appealed for religious unity to counter extremism and intolerance.
The church wants to increase interreligious dialogue. In this way, prejudices can be eliminated and a climate of mutual respect and trust can grow.
In Britain, guitarist Brian May has revealed he recently suffered a minor stroke, telling fans in a video message.
Well, the good news is that I can play guitar after the events of the last few days, and I say this because it was in some doubt.
There's been more rocking than rolling on overseas markets overnight after yesterday's sharp falls on Wall Street. Asian markets fell as much as 4%. European stocks are down slightly. And Wall Street, well, Dow futures are down 81. S&P futures down 21 ahead of the opening bell. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. U.S. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona is touring public schools in Wisconsin. More from Lisa Hale.
Cardona kicked off the Back to School bus tour with the theme of fighting for public education.
Every student across the country should have access to a high-quality public school.
Cardona visited Jackson Elementary School in Green Bay and in the Oneida Nation, Oneida Elementary. He's touring schools in Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. I'm Lisa Hale.
A marathon swimmer is trying to cross Lake Michigan again. Jim Dreyer tried a few weeks ago, but his GPS malfunctioned and he accidentally got off course. He left the Michigan shore again Monday night and hopes to make it to Milwaukee later this week. He actually made it across the Big Lake one other time in 1998. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
The NFL season is now just hours away. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Green Bay Packers will open up the season Friday night in Brazil against the Philadelphia Eagles. Coach Matt LaFleur says Green Bay can get off to a good start this week.
This is a great stage to be on. We're going to be the only game on in the world, and you get to go do it in a place that's never been done before. So it's a great opportunity for our guys to go out there and show what they're all about.
Kickoff for the Packers and Eagles is after 7 p.m. on Friday. Tomorrow night, the Ravens and Chiefs get the NFL season started. The St. Louis Cardinals were able to move a game back up in the standings behind the Brewers with a 7-4 win in 12 innings last night. The game was tied at 3 going into extras before St. Louis got 3 runs in the 12th inning to win. Now Milwaukee is 10 games up on the Cubs and 11 on the Cardinals going into Wednesday night's series finale with St. Louis. And this week is the start of conference season in high school football. You can find one of nearly a dozen games right here on Civic Media this week. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 77 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 62. Tomorrow, partly cloudy 84 with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I've got Sarah Anderson from the Global Economy Project. We're going to be talking about CEO pay. Next up on the Maggie and the Millionaires at 3 p.m. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning and welcome back to Up North News Radio. Unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06 right now on this Wednesday morning, September 4th. Nice to have you along, a big hour ahead. Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is standing by, is going to tell us about one of the projects he's working on, which is a groundbreaking role in terms of putting the Inflation Reduction Act into motion in hometowns all across the country, especially here in Wisconsin, ways that folks can save a lot of money in the future and do good things for the climate as well. So we'll have that conversation with Mandela Barnes in a bit. Then later this hour, State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley will be here. She has been visiting with the National U.S. Education Secretary as part of a start of the school year trip through the country. And so we'll talk about what kinds of issues the Department of Public Instruction is following as we get going on the school year. Todd Alba will be along to preview what's coming up on his show at noon later today across the Civic Media Radio Network. But first, of course, we bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us a bit more about what's happening weather-wise, which at the bus stop this morning includes 55 here in Chippewa Falls, 59 in Hayward, 53 in Park Falls, 53 in Wausau, and in Green Bay. La Crosse at 55, Wisconsin Rapids 53, Oshkosh 53, Madison 53, and the cool spot across Civic Media Land is where Greg is. It's 48 degrees because he's cool that way. Brittany, good morning. How are you? Can you explain Greg's coolness and then give us the forecast for the rest of this Wednesday?
Well, I think that's just Greg radiating. It's the reason why
he radiates coolness.
Right, yeah,
I like that. He's like the opposite of a heat pump that we're going to talk to Mandela Barnes about in just a bit here.
I don't know how to handle that. Okay,
there is no transition from that joke. I'm sorry.
Nope.
Please go ahead, Brittany. Tell us more.
Oh, you're good. You're good. So we have a beautiful day ahead of us. Of course, the high pressure is still in control. Gorgeous sunshine out there today. It's going to be warm. Temperatures are going to climb to those upper 70s, maybe a few 80s out there. A little breezy throughout the afternoon and nothing to worry about. Tomorrow is the big transition day where if you live up north, highs are only going to be in the upper 60s to low 70s. And the further south in the state you are, you'll have one last day tapping the low 80s. But a cold front will be passing through, so some spotty showers moving in overnight tonight into northwest portions of the state. And of course, that cold front working its way throughout the state tomorrow. We're going to see some scattered showers, maybe a few rumbles of thunder, and a little bit of rain there. So after that kicks out, the cooler air settles in. It's going to be a fall-like vibe. Highs on Friday, only in the 60s. That's the same story for Saturday as well before we warm things up again.
There we go. Now we've got autumnal vibes working our way into the States. All right. Let's see from Mary. She says, good morning on Facebook. Rob from Tigerton wishes Melissa a super Wednesday. And for you, good morning from Tigerton. Sunny, 50 degrees. Last night's sunset and this morning's sunrise were fantastic from the wildfire smoke. I mowed 6 yards in the Wittenberg and Tigerton area, and that many today. Weather is perfect, and Brittany has been hitting them out of the park with the weather lately. Pat, you sound much better today. Glad you're getting better. Have a super day. So there you go, Brittany, knocking them out of the park.
Ah, love it. And he brought up a good point, the wildfire smoke. I forgot about that haze yesterday. We could still see that once again today.
We were in, you know, Saskatchewan last weekend, and the first thing we said to our Canadian hosts is, why are you burning your country down? And a lot of those are out of, well, they're so far up north, and some of them burn all winter long. They just kind of smolder under the surface and then fire back up, no pun intended, you know, because they're in such remote areas. Not a great situation, but yeah, makes those sunsets awfully pretty around here. So
it sure does.
We'll take that aspect of it at least. Brittany, thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thanks.
Always nice to hear from Brittany Merlot as well. All right, let's look ahead now. We know that President Joe Biden is going to be coming to Wisconsin, to the Westby area. It's an official presidential trip where he talks about things that, you know, he has accomplished and achieved over the past 4 years as part of the Biden-Harris administration. And a real linchpin of that has been the Inflation Reduction Act. And he's going to be talking about the aspects of it and putting it to work in local communities across the country, and of course, particularly in Wisconsin. All of that assistance in things that are good for the climate, the things that are good for Americans' pocketbooks, their homes, their vehicles, everything else, that doesn't happen in a vacuum. It happens with people that are connecting homeowners, small businesses, school districts with the resources that are available from the Inflation Reduction Act. And Mandela Barnes, the former lieutenant governor of the state of Wisconsin, plays a role in that as well, where he works with a group called Forward Together Wisconsin to help connect people to those resources. And Mandela Barnes joins us this morning. Mandela, good morning. Good to see you. How are you?
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really excited to be here. Yeah, it's always a good day when we can talk IRA, talk about ways to save people money, and talk about making sure that we are doing everything we can to promote sustainability across the state and across the country. We have an opportunity like never before to get it done.
It is. I mean, a lot of folks were familiar with the bipartisan infrastructure law. Folks get that kind of infrastructure, the roads and the bridges and everything else that goes along with it. This is more about the infrastructure of household life, houses, cars, appliances, things like that. And in both cases, Mandela, these are basically overdue. These are overdue investments that the country can make where it costs some money up front, but provides such savings and benefits in the long run.
But not just household life, daily life in general. It is your household for sure. And that's where most Americans are going to see the biggest savings, but also the workplace, school buildings, public spaces, all of these things, all of these institutions, all of these structures. We have an opportunity to green them, so to say. I mean, I guess that was the terms that people use a while ago. Some people still use them, but to make them more sustainable, to make them more habitable, to prep them for the future is the way I like to explain it. Because when we talk about things in the context of what is coming our way, whether it is climate change and how we're going to deal with it, whether it is that astronomical utility bill that is on the way, especially as it takes a whole lot to heat up our homes in the wintertime, how can we offset some of that? How can we save a little cash, save the planet in the meantime? And there was this opportunity like never before with the Inflation Reduction Act. The problem is, as you mentioned, people knew about the bipartisan infrastructure law. There was certainly less knowledge about the Inflation Reduction Act and how it could help folks. And so there was a chance, and I was presented with this opportunity to help stand up an organization to be a bridge between individuals, to be a bridge between communities in the Inflation Reduction Act, to make sure that it was successfully implemented in Wisconsin. And given the fact that we're the first state with the home energy rebate program, I think we're well on our way to successful implementation. We still got a long way to go to make sure everybody knows about it. And I like to say that our goal is to make sustainable attainable. Too many times or too often, the cost is out of reach for somebody to go solar, or the cost could be even out of reach for a household to get an energy assessment or insulation work that will save them money in the long run. And if we continue with these inequities, we'll have higher income households paying lower energy costs and lower income households paying higher energy costs, which just isn't fair. And that's not the intended purpose of the IRA. So putting the IRA to work for working families is certainly a goal of Forward Together Wisconsin. I'm proud of the work of our team.
And so the group is helping with Wisconsin becoming the first state in the country to launch this program called Home Efficiency Rebates, or HOMES for short. The Home Efficiency Rebates program provides these rebates for installing new appliances, insulation, heat sealing, ventilation. The U.S. Department of Energy says that doing these things could save American households up to $1 billion a year in energy costs. And of course, at the same time, Mandela, then we stop contributing as much to the problem of a changing climate.
Exactly. There's the energy costs. There's also the tax credits. There's also the new job creation. There's the local investment, almost $1 billion in local investment and almost 2,000 new clean energy jobs in Wisconsin. But there's data from the IRS that shows that more than 73,000 families have already benefited from the more than $91 million in tax credits to lower the cost of energy and upgrading their homes to make them more sustainable. And the IRA includes more than $8 billion in home energy rebates altogether to help people across this country make their homes more energy efficient. And again, this is what saves the people the money while reducing the emissions.
We're talking to Mandela Barnes, former lieutenant governor, and you know we mentioned that President Joe Biden will be coming to the area to talk about this. And we were discussing in our last hour with Melissa Baldoff in our weekly climate check feature about what would happen come November. And now, again, the role that you're playing in this, connecting people with rebates, this is a non-political role. But as we were having the political discussion in the last hour, we know that by and large, the goal of people on the Republican side, much like the Affordable Care Act, is simply to take all of it away, which, Mandela, I don't think it's a political argument to say that that sounds rather extreme, to go from doing a whole lot about climate change to being in complete denial about it. We talked about how with Republican voters, they maybe it's not their highest issue, but they're not in complete denial about it. And it would seem pretty apparent to me that if you're going from a lot of assistance to zero assistance, that's something that would not necessarily be beneficial to the climate, but also to the American economy.
And, you know, not to be political about it, but if you want to stop people from saving money, then that's on you, not me. And I don't mean you, Pat Kreitel. Right. I mean those who are trying to do that, who are trying to stop people in the state of Wisconsin or people in the country from tapping into cost saving measures, to stop people from tapping into tax incentives that help them put more money either into their own households or money back into the economy. It's a very odd strategy, in my opinion. Who doesn't want to pay lower cost energy bills, and who wouldn't want to tap in some of those savings? And it's funny, the folks who are always talking about lower taxes, well, why would you go against a tax break for working families? And when they say it's tax breaks that they're after, it's, again, too often for the wealthiest among us. I think that working people, I think that lower income individuals, I think people who are still looking for work deserve an opportunity and a chance to participate in this economy just like anybody else, because it makes us all stronger. It gives us all a better opportunity at success in the future.
We're talking to former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who's now working with a group Forward Together Wisconsin. You can learn more at forwardtogetherwi.org. We're going to continue that conversation in less than 2 minutes here. But first, a quick update that the Brewers lost in 12 innings to the St. Louis Cardinals, 7-4. They will play the final game of that series coming up this evening, including on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. More with Mandela Barnes next. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK.
The stars of Bruce City Wrestling are back at the Waukesha Elks Lodge. 2301 Springdale Road, Saturday, September 14th for Fall Frenzy. Don't miss the BCW Women's Title Grudge Matches, Rookie Sensation, Story Denali Challenges, Raven Radix. The Apex athlete CJ Cole will put the BCW Heritage Title on the line against Yeti Henderson in an electrifying rematch. And the Ace of Diamonds, Mab Boone, returns to face off with the one-man riot squad, Gutter Wicks. Card subject to change. Tickets on sale right now at BruceCityWrestling.com. Doors open at 6:45. Saturday, September 14th, Fall Frenzy. Be there!
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
You're listening to The Shaw, W-A-U-K, Waukesha's home for Matinee on Air.
May the last one burn into flame. Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
Happy birthday to Beyonce, 42 years old today. Let's continue our conversation with former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. The man is trying to get something done here that's useful and utilitarian and non-political, connecting people to the resources through the Inflation Reduction Act that can help them save money on utility bills, increase the value of their homes, be good to the climate. And yet the poor man, having been a former lieutenant governor, can't help getting peppered with political questions from idiot political reporters like me. Mandela, I have to ask it this way, because we're still seeing arguments being put forth, including by folks at the Badger Institute, that say that things like the Inflation Reduction Act, you know, would be wasteful spending. We are hearing about how, you know, there could actually be higher costs for homeowners, especially when it comes to heat pumps. We hear about, oh, they're coming to get your stove, or they're coming to take your car away, or whatever the case might be. And Mandela, it didn't take me 5 minutes to find out that a lot of this mythology on heat pumps and working in cold climates, I mean, those are talking points that are easy to spread, and there aren't nearly enough people, you and your allies, to get out there and knock it down and talk about the changes in technology, the improvements in heat pumps that make these kind of investments affordable and practical, even in Wisconsin.
Well, the problem is the people, the detractors, those who are trying to cast aspersion on heat pumps are people who are too concerned with living in the past. And again, not to make this too political, but it's typically the same crowd that want us to be subject to our 1849 criminal abortion ban. So these folks are one and the same, but this is, I mean, all of it is shameful. But the fact is they're using outdated metrics, they're using outdated data. Heat pumps are fully electric. They can run on a grid, they can run on battery storage, and also manufacturers are making heat pumps to be more efficient in cold climates, like in Wisconsin. And folks who have heat pumps here have seen them weather some really cold days. And so all the talk about, you know, what will and what won't work, we know that the traditional forms of generating energy just are not working for America. Those jobs are dying off, and the planet is dying off right alongside those jobs. And we have to think about what the next 10 years, what the next 20 years, what the next 50, 100 years are going to look like. And unless we do that, we're going to be trapped inside of this cycle where we are trying to get our carbon emissions down and get us below that 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold. And but there are some folks, for whatever reason, don't take that seriously. They've ignored science on so many other issues. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised that they're ignoring the science on climate and energy production. But I do truly believe that the mass of people, the majority of people, understand not just what's at stake, but understand what they have an opportunity to embrace, and they want to move forward. And that's why you see a number of, you know, it's a small group still, We see a number of conservatives who are starting to embrace new technologies, and we welcome them. And this work that we're doing is nonpartisan. I mean, one person I know in particular, a former guy I served with in the state assembly, Jeff Stone, he's been working with Renew Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken, to try to help implement some of these measures. And I guess I still owe him a phone call. But we want to see more of this, right? Like, I don't want this to be a political battle. It shouldn't be a political battle. It shouldn't be a partisan fight. This should be about doing the right thing, just as so many other issues are. But when it comes to saving people money and making sure that our children in this country have a future they can look forward to, that should be something that we wholly embrace as one.
Yeah, and let's make sure that folks understand a guy like me advocating this stuff doesn't mean that there are blinders on. You know, technology is always improving. It's not perfect yet. You know, the difference between buying an EV, if you're using it just in an urban area where there are plenty of charging stations, versus if you're making a lot of, you know, 500-mile road trips, maybe that's not the right thing for you yet, but nobody's coming to take away your car and make you get an EV. This is something that is constantly evolving. So in terms of the technology available today, the projects that can be done today, let's kind of go through the practical process. People are hearing you. They're going to websites like focusonenergy.com or forwardtogetherwi.org and wanting to learn more. What are some of the first steps that they can make to learn more about whether and how these kinds of programs are right for them?
Yep. So at forwardtogetherwi.org, there is a link to a savings calculator with our friends at Rewiring America. A lot of weird syllables here. But there is a link to Rewiring America where folks can first put in their income, put in their address, and then you'll be served with a list of a menu of options of what you have access to. This could include heat pumps. This could, most likely it will certainly include the insulation work, the energy assessment, but also, you know, whether there are options for solar, how much you can save there, heat pump generation, how much money you can save there, and other options depending on where you live.
There's also, as people go through that process, you learn that not only is there a benefit in terms of, you know, saving you money down the road, getting some support up front to pay for big projects like this, but there's also job creation, not just in the manufacturing of these items, heat pumps and, you know, electric appliances and solar panels and everything, but the employment that comes in installation as well. I mean, there are going to be work crews busy around this state for the next decade, the next generation.
There is going to be so much job creation, so much opportunity. And that's the silver lining about us being so late to the game here, is that there is so much work to be done just for us to play catch up, just for us to get close to the clean energy goals. And when I served as chair of the Climate Change Task Force, we put out our list of recommendations. But shortly after that, Wisconsin finally got our clean energy plan approved. And so there's our plan to get to net zero emissions by 2050. And that was before the IRA. So with the help of the Inflation Reduction Act, that certainly gives us the tools to accelerate our clean energy goals, and also helps us to be realistic about what's achievable. Because at that point, we assumed zero help from the federal government. This was all what the state could lift on its own, realistically partnering with organizations, getting utility companies in line and on board with the goals. And I just want to give a shout out to the utility companies that were on board. There were a couple who actually had clean energy goals before the state had clean energy goals. And that was before our administration came into office in 2019. But with that being said, because Wisconsin had been super slow to adopt, because we've been stagnant for 8 years, there's just a wealth of opportunities and job opportunities specifically for people to get us back up to par.
And for folks hearing this going, this all sounds wonderful, but does this really mean Mandela Barnes isn't engaging in, you know, political activity anymore? We're going to have him back on, because there's other things that the man does to fill his day, including voter turnout. We're going to talk about that in a couple few weeks here, I gather.
Oh, I'm happy to talk to you about it in a few weeks.
All right.
We'll talk about it whenever, but I look forward to coming back on.
Yeah, and hear all about the ways that we're encouraging people to vote coming up in November. Mandela Barnes, for the update on the rebate program and everything else about the Inflation Reduction Act, thank you so much. We'll touch base on election magic again real soon. Perfect.
Thanks so much.
All right. Take care. When we come back, Dr. Jill Underley is standing by, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, as we get started on a new school year across Wisconsin. From the Civic Media Radio Network, this is Up North News Radio. Back in just a bit.
This is the Shaw, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Plenty of Wisconsin communities still struggle trying to find broadband access, but boy, when it arrives, it can be like magic. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. Brittany Beyer is keeping an eye on things. She's a University Extension Specialist in Community Economic Development in Rhinelander. She's also on the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. That started back in 2020, and she says, well, for many communities, progress may seem slow. When broadband access arrives, it's a game changer.
Housing values go up by about 10%. Educational opportunities for all of your students becomes a level playing field. So if you can attract people to live in rural communities because there is equitable access and people can work from home and people can run their businesses from anywhere, it really becomes an amplifier.
Brittany Beyer, University Extension Specialist in Community Economic Development in Rhinelander, also on the Governor's Task Force on Broadband Access. She reminds those communities that are still waiting for broadband access that Wisconsin will end up getting $1.1 billion in funding to bring high-speed internet across all of its residents by the end of the decade.
Steffes Group has been in the business of marketing farm, construction, transportation equipment, and farm real estate at public auctions for over 60 years. With locations across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain region of the United States, their team is readily equipped to handle any of your auction needs. Sell with confidence, knowing that their team of professionals prioritize honesty, integrity, and outstanding service. Visit steffesgroup.com to find a representative near you and discuss your options for selling with Steffes today.
All right, team, pay attention to this game film about Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans. See here? When dairy farms grow Plenish soybeans for their cows,
they have lower overall feed costs.
Good eye, Jake.
And they maximize milk fat production.
So they increase the return on their investment.
Well, let that be a lesson to you. For lower feed costs and higher milk fat and dairy cows, what do we plant?
Pioneer brand Plenish high oleic soybeans.
Learn more at pioneer.com/happycows.
And today marks the beginning of Wisconsin's bear hunting season. It'll run now until October 4th. Randy Johnson, the DNR large carnivore specialist, says Wisconsin actually is home to a thriving bear population, estimated at more than 26,000 animals. The resident bear population covers more than half the state, primarily in the forested regions in northern and central Wisconsin, but continuing to see a slow southward expansion as well. That's a quick update on what's happening in food news for a Wednesday. More always available at MidwestFarmReport.com. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter and you won't miss a thing. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today with a high of 77 this afternoon. The wind out of the southeast at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 62 tomorrow, partly cloudy, 84 with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
The Todd Alba Show.
Happy Labor Day to you. So there are companies out there who do value the worker, but there are a lot who still don't. And that's why I think it's so important to stop today and remember those who fought so hard and what this day is about. Yes, go out, have a beer, have a brat, enjoy it. But take a minute to pause, reflect, and say thanks to all those people who sacrificed for working people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm back on the home court in Green Bay and welcome the hilarious comedian and Wisconsin native Mary Mack. And from HBO's hit show Hacks, actress Rose Abdu joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow on the program, the federal government is trying to do more to encourage Americans to learn about voting, register to vote, and go out and vote. Republican Congressman Brian Stile thinks there's something nefarious about that and wants to investigate. We'll tell you more about his efforts tomorrow on Up North News Radio. Remember, you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. Click subscribe in the banner on top of our homepage and sign up for unabashedly Wisconsin news delivered early every weekday morning. The U.S. Secretary of Education, Miguel Cardona, is on a bus trip to several states, starting in Wisconsin, part of a back-to-school bus tour to talk about the many ways that schools and families and communities can do more to help with student achievement and raise the bar in public education. The bus tour includes work and visits with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underly, who joins us now on Up North News Radio. Dr. Underly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Very well. Thank you so much for being a part of this. So we understand that Education Secretary Cardona is in Wisconsin, ready to do that part of his national bus tour. What more can you tell us about what you all are talking about as you get started on a new school year?
Yeah, no, this has been a really great event that he's doing, and he did it a couple of years ago around career and technical education and made a couple stops here in Wisconsin. But this one in particular is about fighting for public education in public schools. And so the secretary is raising the alarm that if we don't fight for our public schools, then they will be taken over by privatization, or schools will continue to be defunded and negatively perceived to the point where they can no longer exist because of declining funding and enrollment. So his argument, as well as mine, has been that these are places that are the centers of our communities, and they are worth fighting for because they're the places that only everyone is welcome. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, who your parents are, or how much money you have a place in your public schools and you belong there. So I just really like the message that he's promoting, and there's so much energy around his tour.
And unfortunately, everything that you just said is at the heart of either Republican criticism or conservative efforts to privatize public education, with this drumbeat message of that it should just be the three R's and just focus on, you know, teaching. It's just notes on a blackboard. When, as you said, schools are so much more. And while some people may not like some of the discussion topics, these are some of the safest places for our kids to have discussions or to find resources or to just get a friendly ear to talk to. And those problems don't go away when you privatize and take schools just down to reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so true. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today without my public school. And I think about my public school experience, the exposure that I had, you know, to other kids and other cultures, and how it prepared me to be the person that I am today, and how I loved my teachers and how they loved me back, and how they believed in me. And it was the place where my parents could send me because it was in my community. And I think that's, you know, part of the point. You know, public schools are an act of love. You know, that love that our community invests into its next generation. And it's one of the greatest gifts that we have in our society. And to that point, yesterday we were in Wisconsin Heights, which is a rural school west of Madison in western Dane County. It's Consolidated, Mazomanie, and Black Earth, Wisconsin. And the secretary talked with teachers and superintendents who created a Grow Your Own scholarship opportunity for high school students who wanted to become teachers and then come back and work in their rural school. So that's really what it's about. You know, it's about investing in that next generation. It's about investing in your community. And we talk all the time about how public schools are this cornerstone of democracy. It's a local government, right? There's a local school board. And we have to remember that everybody in that community, that school belongs to them. And it doesn't matter, again, what language you speak or who your parents were or any of that stuff. I mean, that's your school. And we have to make those schools work for all kids.
You know, when a lot of parents are getting ready for the new school year, they maybe have to go to the store nearby to get school supplies and maybe some new clothing. You end up going all over the state. You were recently in the Fox Valley talking about how to teach students who are speaking different languages. What was that tour about?
Yeah, so we were recently in Green Bay area and we had a great visit. We were also in Menasha, and in both cases, I mean, the administration and staff were wonderful. We visited dual language classrooms, and these classrooms, they're doing great things, and especially around language immersion. I mean, these kids are building incredible skills, and then when they, you know, they go through school, they're going to have multiple languages, and that's an asset. I mean, there's so much research that shows that children who learn two languages in elementary school will have better literacy scores, you know, because they have different cognitive advantages when they learn multiple languages. And this is, again, a service to the community. You have parents who maybe don't speak English, you know, and we have, you know, them trusting the public schools with their kids and then the public schools accommodating that. We also visited Fenimore out in, I think it's Grant County. It's, you know, west of Dodgeville there. And they also have Spanish-speaking students. And it's a rural school district. And they are using the assets of their kids who speak, you know, Spanish from the time they were little, learned English. And these are now high school kids who are providing translation services in their communities. And so bilingualism is an incredible asset, and we have to embrace that. And again, you know, these classrooms were the dual immersion classrooms. Those children tend to do better academically than students in traditional classrooms, especially in reading. I mean, those skills are transferable. So children who learn both languages and learn to read and write in both languages, they're going to develop stronger literacy skills. And it's just something that we haven't fully embraced, you know, in our entire system. And it's really a shame. We really need to do that.
And it really is affirmation of the way that your local public school is sometimes also your best job recruiter of the future. You just talked about how some of these students go on to become translators or interpreters. And earlier you mentioned how some of them will come back to their community to teach. Our reporter Selena Heller did an in-depth story a couple months back out of Black River Falls, and how many students who left town never thought they were going to come back, but then felt the call to serve and come teach back in their hometown school. If you're weakening your hometown schools, you're weakening some of that future job recruitment for your local economy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just an aside, when I was a superintendent in Southwest Wisconsin, and it was a rural school district, I would count, you know, how many of our teachers were from that community. And it was something like 60 to 75% of our teachers any given year had either graduated from that school district or graduated from one of the adjacent school districts. And rural schools employ people from their communities. They choose to be there. They choose to live in that rural area, and they are firmly connected to those communities. And so like this program that we saw yesterday at Wisconsin Heights, the GROW program, I mean, it's something the secretary would like to scale up in other districts and other states. And I'm 100% with them on that, you know, just to be able to make sure that our school districts in Wisconsin could have programs like that as well.
Dr. Jill Underley is the State Superintendent of Public Instruction and is joining us on Up North News Radio on this Wednesday morning. There was a recent release of the Wisconsin Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and it confirmed that there's a mental health crisis, you know, among youth in our country and in our state. And while the COVID pandemic is increasingly in the rearview mirror, the mental health crisis was here before that. And it continues. It doesn't fade just because the pandemic has appeared to fade. And it continues to be as much a challenge for local districts and I would imagine for a state department of public instruction as well. What kinds of things are you studying? What kinds of things are you trying to put in place at the start of a new school year to address these very real concerns?
Yeah, I mean, mental health is still a very, very big concern, especially after our latest YRBS, which is that Youth Risk Behavior Survey, and the results that showed that 60% of our kids are struggling with a mental health concern. So it's depression, it's anxiety, it's suicidal thoughts. And these concerns are the largest for our girls and girls of color, especially, as well as our kids who are LGBTQ plus students. We did put something in our budget last time, and we're gonna promote it again. But I mean, the data shows that we still need to invest more into our public schools with mental health. I mean, there are a lot of places, mostly rural, that still struggle with attracting staff, you know, to work in mental health. But how can we also pay for staff? You know, it's a both and. We may have the money, but then we can't find the staff. And then we may have the staff, but then we can't find the money. And the kids are in our schools. So how do we get the services to the kids, you know, so that families don't have to drive? You think about rural areas, and sometimes families are having, you know, to choose between working and taking their kid to an appointment, or kids are missing lots of school because of appointments being far away. And so it's one of our highest priorities because the need is so immediate and the service is so important. So we're going to, again, you know, put more funding proposals into our budget, enough so that every school district can hire mental health professionals. But like I said before, we also have to ensure that there are people for them to hire. So there's, you know, it's a lot, but then there are things that we can do that don't cost money, right? There are things like support kids, listen to kids, make sure that they belong in our schools, make sure they can be their true selves. Don't implement policies that discriminate against kids. Let them be kids and let them be themselves.
We also hear a lot at the start of a school year about, you know, quote unquote, parents' rights and parental involvement. And it feels like a public service announcement that we have to do at the start of every school year that says parents and community members can already be involved. There are already pathways toward knowing what's going on in your school district before you hear something and want to show up at a school board meeting and complain about it. School districts continue to be very open to the idea that parents and community members want to learn more and perhaps do more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are so many ways parents can play a greater role in supporting their child's education and also just the children in the community, even if they don't have kids in schools. Some simple things like communicating with teachers. Teachers love that. You know, they want you to attend parent-teacher conferences. They want you to go to school events and open houses. Work with the teacher. They're your partner in this, you know, in your kids' education. Communicate with them. The teachers, again, they welcome this. They want to know if something is going on so that they could support your child and give them the support that they need or help support your family, right, to work through challenges. I mean, there are so many places. Like yesterday when we were at South Division in Milwaukee Public Schools, they have a family resource center where family members can go in and, you know, maybe there's things, you know, like for food insecurity or, you know, housing assistance. I mean, there's so many things that the schools provide to connect families, but also support your public school by, well, just supporting it, right? Get involved. Attend board meetings, attend school meetings and fundraisers. Don't just go to a meeting if you're mad, right? I mean, these things are happening all the time, these meetings, and, you know, there's all kinds of events happening, volunteering in the classroom, helping with fundraising, promoting your school in the community. Go on field trips with your kids and talk up your public schools. School is so important to the community, and supporting it vocally and among your neighbors and friends goes a long way.
That's okay. And I got time to squeeze in one more thing. First, our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle, thanking you on Facebook for all of your work. Second, there's no way that I ever get into this final topic as a question. It has to be an emotional editorial comment that I'm just going to then hand the ball to you. Okay. How do we still have food insecurity in our schools? How do we still have lunch debt? Jill,
feed the damn kids.
Yes,
just feed
the
kids.
Right. And we can learn from other states that are doing this. I mean, there are ways to do it. And again, it's about priorities. What are our priorities? Right. And right. It doesn't cost that much money. And I've always been, you've heard that thing, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Mm-hmm. Why are we not investing in kids in the front end? Right. Okay. Feed them, get them the medical need, you know, mental health needs, whatever they need.
This is not
so that you don't have to pay for it.
It's not difficult. It's not difficult.
I know.
Dr. Jill Underly, thank you so much for helping us kick off the new school year. Safe travels.
Thank you so much, Pat.
Todd Alba is coming up next. You're up north.
The Shaw, WAUK, Waukesha's home for Nightlight with Peach Waba.
Summer may be coming to an end, but there's still time to enjoy a beer with your neighbors at Merrill Crest Park, September 5th through the 7th for Waukesha Parks, Rec, and Forestry's Neighborhood Beer Garden. Enjoy live music, food, socializing with neighbors, and of course, beer. The excitement is already brewing for this year's before and after school program as space is filled quickly. But stay tuned for so many more fun things to do. Visit the WaukeshaWI.gov activity guide for more information.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands, seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota Style 12 Grain, Multigrain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
What?
As we mentioned last hour in our history lesson, it was on this week in 1990 that George Michael released his second solo album, Listen Without Prejudice. Little did the man know that he was setting up Todd Alba for having a wonderful radio show theme every day at noon. So, Mr. Alba, good morning.
A pleasant good morning, Patrick. A pleasant good morning, Greg. I did not know that today was the release date, but I have that album, and it's a great one. I bought it when it first came out. Yeah, I fell in love with the song. Our song's very haunting. Part of it's very haunting, but part of it's very inspirational.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, that the album, he got some flack for it because everybody wanted the happy wham stuff, you know, right. Wake me up before you go. And he's like, he actually has a little bit more depth to him. Yeah. And you hear a lot of that raw emotion in this album. I always thought from the beginning, I like my intro tune, Stevie Ray Vaughan and Crossfire. Yeah, I think it's a good one. But yours is great. So many people have these great intro tunes, and that one for you, having the guts to leave your political party and go off on your own, and the lyrics to freedom really play a role in that and set the tune for just really a killer show that you do every day at noon.
Well, you're so very kind. Thank you. I mean, it was something we thought about a lot. It's a little bit of a song for me, my life journey, I guess, a little bit, yeah. As you ebb and grow and you want your freedom. Little did I know that it would end up being, Vice President Harris is one of her main themes.
Right.
I chose it because I think it speaks to a lot of us, regardless of political party or those that might not belong to a political party at all. I think in our gut, we all just want, you know, the freedom to live our lives and be happy. So, and it's just a cool tune.
Yeah, that's got a good start to it, which leads me, Greg, you know, Jane's on vacation. So, but I'm sure you can speak for her. I've never actually asked, sure enough, my musical ignorance here, but her opening song with the lyrics, Jane Says,
yeah.
Is that a song that was well known by other people, not idiots like me or not?
Stop. Making fun of yourself. It's not charming.
Hear that, Todd? I'm not charming.
I didn't say that either.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, the song is called Jane Says. It's by Jane's Addiction. I think it's a very well-known song, but like I grew up on like college rock and like 102.1 rock and roll music, alternative music. So I always known that song. So when we picked that song, I was like, oh yeah, it makes sense. It's got her name in it. But
yes.
Yeah. I think it's a very recognizable tune, but when it comes to the song Freedom, especially Freedom 90 by George Michael, who is one of my favorite artists of all time, that intro always makes me feel good. I love that song. Mm-hmm. I can listen to it once a day and feel amazing.
And then, it's your song. Go ahead. No, I was going to say, you then made it even better with, and you were doing the show for about, I think, a year before you led into this, coming out of the song with the line, "It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. It's a great day to be in Wisconsin." You know, that despite everything that the angst and the turmoil and the challenges and everything is reminding us, we all do these fights for a reason. It's because we love living here.
There's so much to be happy about, and oftentimes I tend to focus on the trials and tribulations. But I think as Wisconsin, you know, I got this map behind me there, is for those watching on the stream, of all of our stations. And if you travel around the state, it is a great place to live. And we're still very blessed and fortunate, whether it's in, you know, the conservation in our state parks, our riverways and whatnot, or whether it's our sports teams like the Brewers who are doing fantastic, or the Bucks or the Badgers, or whether it's our public educators like you just had Dr. Underly on before, our local schools, our community. I could go on and on. You guys know this. But I think it's always good to pause and reflect, as my old teacher Andy Spies used to say, math is in life. Pause and reflect, and be thankful for all the great things in Wisconsin. But let me just say, really quickly, I know Jane's on vacation. I've been listening to Matt and Aaron. I want to just give props and a shout out to Greg, doing an outstanding job filling in as co-host for nearly a month. I hope
it's been a week and a half.
It's like 3 weeks.
No, it's not. But thank.
Well, I'm serious. No, I've told Luke. I said, man, he's really got this host thing down. So nicely done.
Thank you.
Okay, let's completely move. Let's geek out for a moment here. Right. You used a phrase a minute ago, and it leads to one of these very weird word nerd things. You mentioned trials and tribulations.
Yeah.
And that's one of the examples of there are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation on its own. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't even like vim. What is that? Is that like a is that a cool, like, hip, like, technological? Oh no, vim and vigor. Okay.
So I've never created like this all encompassing list, but I'm putting everybody on notice now that this is one of those, you know, the dumb things that rattles around in my head so often, is I'm going to make that list of words that
you
never hear unless it's in that particular phrase. So
I love that a lot. I was listening to myself, which I don't like to do, on Labor Day. I was at the Brewer game, so I listened to the show before I went in a little bit, and I air checked myself, and I said "and whatnot" 3 times within 2 minutes. I'm like, "What the heck are you doing, Todd? Why are you saying whatnot 3 times?" I mean, you don't realize it in the moment,
it's,
you know,
stuff. And then
you
listen,
like, "Oh, geez."
Yeah. There's definitely some phrases like that I probably should listen back to. It's one of those when you're early in your career. You really have to. You should. You should catch up. And at some point, you just kind of get out of the habit. And at some point, somebody goes, you know, you say that. Kind of like, remember that time when that guy jumped on you for using the word "across" instead of "across" when you say "across"?
Now I'm completely self-conscious.
And now it's just in there. It just lives in there like one of Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s brainworms, you know?
One of the first times I solo hosted for Jane, I listened back and I said this phrase at the end of the day, like 7 times in 3 segments.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's awful.
I thought for sure the text line was going to light up at this point, going, "Yeah, Kreitlo, here, you got this, and you do this, and you do that." But I'm sure we'll save that for another time.
You're an award-winning broadcaster, Pat Kreitlo. Come on now.
I don't know that I've ever actually won an award.
An inspiration to the young ones.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that
Buckeye News Award.
Yeah. No, I've kind of always put it in that phrase of, you know, I refuse to join a club that would have me as a member. So, Todd Alba, the Todd Father, has so much more sensical stuff coming up, and he does it with vim at noon every day across the Civic Media Radio Network. And Greg is bringing the vigor at 10 o'clock today for Matt and Air on Air.
And thanks for the compliment, Todd.
Thank you both. You're fantastic.
Thank you all for being here. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Have a great Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow morning up north.
The Shaw, WAUK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on a hump day edition next time. Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, plus your phone calls. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinaire on Air with Jane Matinaire. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Shaw. 101.1 FM and 540 AM WAUK. And on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.